I'd like to take a couple of minutes, just about 10 minutes tonight, to talk to you about a little man in a tree. It's in the Bible, you know. I've had a very taxing week. I'm very tired. Usually I get by on about 6 hours sleep or so. Last night I slept 10 hours and I'm still exhausted. And I want to tell you why. I went to bed at 9 and I get up at 7 this morning. Usually I get up a little earlier, but I wasn't preaching, so I slept in a little bit. But I've had my grandchildren here all week. Listen, for those who are getting married late in life, I really don't recommend kids over 50. If you're over 50, it's exhausting trying to keep up with them. No wonder we're supposed to have our kids young in life. Yes, that's right. I've had so much fun. This morning you saw I had the privilege of dedicating my middle grandson, Liam. And on the platform with him was Landon. Landon is 3.5 years old, and he was carrying a teddy bear in his hand, if you were here this morning. We built that this week. He and I went to Build-A-Bear. I don't know if you ever heard of Build-A-Bear. And we went to Build-A-Bear, and we built that thing from scratch. And we had a lot of fun doing that. I've made myself available to my grandkids, especially Landon, because he's one of my best friends now in the whole world at 3.5. And at the beginning of the week, I said, you know, whatever you want to do this week, we're going to do. I said, we can visit museums. We can go watch airplanes take off at the airport. We can do whatever you want to do, we can do. And he looked at me and said, well, let's go outside and throw rocks. So we went outside and threw rocks, and it's really a lot of fun. I hadn't done that in a long, long time. And there's a lot to learn about rocks. He taught me about rocks, the different kinds of rocks, and we went outside together, and we just threw rocks, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, it's so funny how we get ideas about what we want to do and what we think kids want to do, and sometimes it's just so different. And you and I have that impression sometimes of God, the way God is and how God does things, and we never think that he would just come down and go outside with us and throw rocks. We never view God that way. And we just spent our whole week doing things. I bought a fake Christmas tree, wanted to decorate a Christmas tree. So I went out and I bought a fake Christmas tree and 100 unbreakable ornaments. And we decorated a Christmas tree. I have a Christmas tree in my living room. And if anybody wants a really tacky looking Christmas tree with 100 fake ornaments, call my secretary. We'll arrange. We'll get it to you. We'll actually deliver it to you. I've got to get rid of this somehow at the end of this week. We've just done a lot of stuff together. Now, he followed me all day, and then I followed him the rest of the day, and I like to exercise every day. And so he would follow me in my exercises and what I do, and then one day we're just kind of laying on the floor after doing some stuff, and he looked at me and he said, Papa, I'm not very good at things. And I said, what do you mean? And he looked really sad. He said, well, I'm small. And that's true. He said, well, he is a little small. And he's a year younger than everyone else in his kindergarten class, which makes him smaller than everybody else. And plus, his best friend is called Carter. And he's 4 years old and he's 76 pounds. So he looks small next to Carter. That's, he's about half the size of Carter. And he said, but I'm not good at sports. He has a hard time to keep up with the other kids. And I'm slow at races. And he said, I'm small. And so I was just stopped for a moment because I could see this was really weighing on him. And I took a moment to pray. And I said, you know, Landon, I said, in the Bible, there was a man, he was so small that he had to climb a tree to see God go by. And he found that rather funny. You imagine being that small that you have to actually climb a tree to see God go by? Well, that's actually in the Bible. He had to climb a tree to see God go by. And I said, now, in that crowd were all kinds of big people with big ideas and big histories and big wallets and big clothes and big egos and big plans. And there's hundreds of them. But suddenly God stops and looks at the little man in the tree and says, come down. He said, I must abide at your house today. And I said, God passed all of those big people by, and he stopped at this little man in the tree. And he said to that little man, I must come to your house. And I said, you know, Landon, God saw something in that little man. He saw something inside of him. It's not something, I said, a real man, a real person of strength, it's not how big you are, it's what you have inside. And I said, you have something inside of you that God comes to you and says, I must come to your house today. You know, the scripture says that God is high and he's holy, but he dwells with the people who are humble of a contrite spirit. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And we have a tendency to view God the way that humanity views itself. We look around us and we think about important people. We think about powerful people. We think about, oh, how God could really use that person. Or if that person's talents were gripped by God, how great they could be in the kingdom of God. And we're looking at everything with natural eyes and with natural understanding. We're forgetting that God is the one who makes us powerful. God is the one who gives us abilities. God is the one who comes into the heart and transforms a life and makes it something that brings praise, through which he brings praise to his own name. You and I have nothing to offer God. Our big egos just get in the way. All of our plans are a nuisance to a holy God. All of the things that we think we are get in the way of who God could be in us. And finally, I think he has to bypass the crowd time and time again to finally look for somebody who's so small that they actually know they are. Somebody that's small enough that actually their hearts are open to God coming and living in their house. You see, when Christ came to this man Zacchaeus' house, he went into that house, and the moment he came into that house, Zacchaeus, it says, stood up and said, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the son of man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Suddenly this little man had a large heart. You know, God's still looking for little people. He's still looking for people in our society who know they need a savior. He's still looking for people who just say, God, I would just be content to see you pass by. I don't have to be part of the bigger crowd. I don't need a name. I don't need my name on a marquee somewhere. I don't need to be in a glossy brochure. And I don't really care if anybody remembers who I am. As long as I can see you. I just want to see you. I just want to see you one time. I just want to know that you are God. I want to witness it with my own eyes. I don't care if other people make fun of me. I don't care if they laugh at me. But I'm willing to endure the scorn of those who have all their agendas and are trying to move and hustle God into the position or place they think he should be in. I just want to see God. And I believe there's people who have come into the sanctuary tonight, and that's the cry of your heart. I just want to see God. I just want to know who you are. I just want for once to know if God cares about me. Is there a chance that God would visit me? Is there a chance he would come to my house? Is there a chance that I could become something other than what I am? Would God even notice me? Does he even care? Some of you even went in the balcony because you want to be closer to God tonight. Now you laugh, but I know somebody up there is thinking that when they come in tonight. You just want to see God. You were created by God and for God to live with God, to be in relationship with God, so it's in your heart to see God. There's no way around it. You want to see God. That's why in our generation there's such a desperate running to manifestations in the Christian church. Now, we've had some things that have happened in the last decade or so that where there have been manifestations in the church, and people have run to these places just because it's in the human heart to see God. But the interesting thing about this story is that God saw Zacchaeus. He noticed him because it was in this man's heart to see God. And tonight, you're one of 1,884. Actually, I know that because I know how many seats are in this sanctuary. You're one of 1,884 in this sanctuary, or the few hundred or so that are in the annex. You're one. And you wonder, does God see me? Oh, you better believe he sees you. You better believe the whole parade has stopped because it's in your heart to know him tonight. And maybe nobody else knows it but you. You may have come in with three or four other people. And perhaps this was just on a lark even to come to church tonight. But tonight you're sitting here and you've had this secret in your heart and you've known it's there. And God knows it's there. Nobody else knows it's there. But God, I want to know who you are. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to know. I want to know where you're going. I want to know what you're doing. I want to know, is it possible for me to be part of it? And Jesus stops the whole parade. And I can imagine how dismayed all the big people must have been. When he stops and this little guy in a tree, who didn't even have a good reputation. He was a tax gatherer. And people didn't like him for what he'd done and how he was living. Some considered him a traitor. And there he is in the tree. And he says, come down. I must come to your house tonight. Did you know that there's a call to you tonight? Many in the sanctuary where Jesus Christ is saying to you, I must come to your house tonight. I must. There's an urgency. I want to. I must come there. I want to go to your house. I want to be part of your life. I want to meet your kids. I want to be part of your family. I want to know your wife or your husband or the people that you're associated with. I want to be in your house. I must come to your house. That's why God came to the earth as a man and went to a cross, because it was in his heart to come to your house, to be part of your house, to be part of your life, to go with you on the subway to work, to be part of your every day. That's why Christ died. That's why when he died, the scripture says the veil that separated men from God was torn in two. Rocks were split in two as finally this need in the heart of God was met to come back to you and I again. I must come to your house. Zacchaeus, come down. Now Zacchaeus had a choice to make at that point. Does he stay in the tree in his littleness, or does he respond to the voice of God? Tonight I'm standing here as he was standing perhaps in the street that day. He said, I must come to your house. Zacchaeus, come down. You see, on your part, you have to come down. Tonight in this sanctuary would mean come down from the sense of fear. Come down physically out of your seat to an altar. I must come to your house. Zacchaeus obviously came down from the tree. And Jesus and Zacchaeus, the littlest man in the crowd, head off. And the Bible says that they were murmuring against them. They said, God went to be a guest of a man who's a sinner. The religious were so offended, and all of the people that had an image of themselves and how they were going to use God to better their destinies were so offended as God walks down the road with a man that probably stands about this tall next to him, heads to his house. And when he walks into his house, there's an immediate change in this man's heart. He was a tax gatherer. Now, these guys were greedy. They were cheats. I mean, they made their income by cheating people. That's what they did. I'm not going to call it the Wall Street of that generation. I'm tempted, but I'm not going to do it. Let's call him a mortgage broker. But that's how they made their living. And he came into the house of Zacchaeus. And the moment God comes into your house, the moment you open your heart, the moment you do, Jesus said, I will come in and I will sit down with you and I will sup with you. That means you and I will have communion together. I will open my heart to you. I'll open the word to you. I'll open life to you. I'll open the meaning of why you were born, why you're here, where you're going tomorrow. What is life about? What is eternity? I'll open it all to you if you'll open your heart to me. Amazing, really. The step on our part is very small. The step on God's part is very large. You just open the door and he says, I'll open all the rest. I'll give you understanding, I'll give you revelation, I'll give you giftings, I'll give you a new heart. He says in Ezekiel, I'll give you a new mind, I'll give you a new spirit. I'll change you from the inside out. Zacchaeus opens the door to his house, Christ comes in, and immediately he said he stood up and said, Lord, half of my goods that I give it to the poor. There was an immediate benevolence. Immediately, his heart was changed from every transaction was for his own benefit. Now his life was being lived for the benefit of others because the Spirit of God was upon him. The evidence of the Spirit of God being in you is you begin to care about other people. Christ in you gives compassion. Christ in you causes your heart and eyes to be open to the needs of other people. And he says, if I've taken anything by false accusation, I'll restore him four times what I took from him. There's an immediate desire to make wrongs right. Whether it's to write a letter to somebody, whether it's to forgive somebody who's wronged you, there's an immediate desire comes into the heart, and then God gives the power to fulfill it. Christianity is a transformed life by the power of God from the inside out. There are so many living witnesses in the sanctuary of this truth tonight. It's an irrefutable truth. When Christ comes into your heart, you are changed. You become a new person. The old things pass away. No, they don't all die immediately, but their power to control your life dies right on the spot. And they begin to fall off and fade away because new life comes in. If I could, I'd praise God for the rest of my days without even taking a breath for what he's done in my heart and what he's done in my life. I'd praise God from morning till night if this physical body would allow me. I'd shout it from the mountaintops. I'd shout it anywhere that anybody would listen. What God has done, how he has changed. You know, Landon was laying on the floor and I was sitting beside him, and it was at that moment that I looked at him. And it wasn't just wishful thinking, it was a word of knowledge. I said, God has seen something in you. He's seen something in your heart. And I said, you're going to do what your papa does. And he said, what's that? I said, you're going to tell people about God. That's what you're going to do. That's what you're called to do. And it was a word that God put in my heart that I know that I will live to see this child preach, should the Lord tarry. Zacchaeus, you've got to come down. The invitation. You hear it in the pulpit tonight in these testimonies. You hear it in the song. I share it to you from my heart. But you've got to come down. If you stay in the tree, then God just is going to pass you by. And there are moments, there are seasons, there are times when God speaks directly to the heart. And he calls you by name and says, I must come to your house. And I want to come to your house tonight. You can take God home with you tonight. He comes and takes up residency when you've come to him through the cross, when you've acknowledged that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. You open your heart to him and accept his offer of forgiveness. He comes into your life and goes home with you. And you will rise up, I promise you, as God lives, you'll rise up in the morning if you have a genuine turning to God tonight, and you will be a different person. You will know it. Nobody has to tell you. You will know it in here. You will know that somebody has come to your house. God has come. There'll be an immediate change in your heart, which will eventually begin to work its way out through your life. You've got to come down tonight. Oh, Zacchaeus, I must come to your house. I implore you in Christ's name. I implore you. It's not worth missing heaven because of pride. It's not worth missing heaven because of the person on your left or on your right. It's not worth it for the crowd. Ultimately, what does it matter? A million years from now, what will you care what the crowd said about you on this earth? You're given an offer to have God come to your house. And you said, I chose that day. I chose that night in New York City in Times Square Church to humble myself and allow God through Jesus Christ, his son, to come to my house. If that's in your heart tonight to do this, we're going to stand. No, I'm going to do it this way tonight. I'm going to ask you, if it's in your heart to let Jesus Christ come into your life, if it's in your heart to let him be your Savior, if it's in your heart to have him come home with you tonight, just raise your hand right now. God bless you. Raise your hand all over the sanctuary, wherever you are. Raise your hand. For those who raised your hands tonight, we're going to stand and worship, and I'm going to ask you, as Zacchaeus did, get out of your seat, make your way to this altar. We're going to pray a prayer together, and we're going to believe God for the miracle of salvation to come into your heart. Let's all stand. Get out of your seat, everybody that raised their hand. If you have a friend with you, bring your friend with you. Come down here now. Make your way here, please. And we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. God Almighty, thank you, Lord, for those that have the courage to step out. Just make your way close. Join these young ladies, this young man that's coming. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I can tell that there are many of you here tonight at this altar. This is brand new to you. You've not done anything like this before. When you open your heart and your home to Jesus Christ, one of the things that will happen is you're giving the ownership of your life away. You're giving your future to God. And God says, you give me the rights to your life, and I'll give you a new life for that. Something deeper, something more fulfilling, more satisfying than anything you've ever known before. I'll do this. Now, if you're a Wall Street broker here, I'm sorry I made fun of you tonight. The good news is you're no worse than anybody else in this society. We're all on level ground. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. Thank God that you're here. Now, you're giving your life to Christ. And the reason you need to do that is the Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of what God had destined our lives to be. But the Lord put the penalty of that on his own son. Jesus Christ died on a cross, and he paid the price for all the wrong things that you and I have ever done. And he made a way through that sacrifice for God to come to us again. Because sin had separated us from a holy God. And he made a way for God to come to us through the cross. So tonight, you have to admit that you're a sinner. You have to admit that your ways are not God's ways. That much of what you've done is wrong. And once you admit it, then Jesus holds out his hand, as he did on the cross, and says, Father, forgive them. And he offers that forgiveness tonight. He offers to clean the slate of all the wrong you've done and make you into a child of God, a brand new person in Christ Jesus. The change happens from the inside out. It's not something, you don't have to work this up. It happens from the inside out. You just let God be God inside of you. You'll understand this. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but you must make this prayer your own. It's got to come from your heart. Now, if you truly mean this, your life will never be the same again. You'll begin to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I'm sorry for living in sin. I don't want to live that way anymore. I'm sorry that my sin sent you to a cross, that you had to endure my punishment and my pain. But I'm glad tonight that you loved me so much that you willingly went there that I might be forgiven and you might come and live with me for the rest of my life and all of eternity. Tonight, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. I accept your offer of forgiveness. I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. Lead me, guide me, teach me, help me to live a new life that brings honor and glory to your name. Jesus, I thank you that you are receiving me as your very own this very moment. You are forgiving my sin. and promising me that when I die, I will live in heaven with you forever. Thank you for receiving me, for giving me a new life, for helping me to be kind and be an extension of the hand of God's mercy to my generation. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you the rights to my life. I give you my future. I give you everything that I am. And I thank you for coming to my house. In your precious name, amen and amen.